Before we get started, as always, I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Almighty God, we thank you so much for who you are and what you mean to us. Lord, I pray, as that song said, that we would fully give our heart to you. Because so often what we say and what we do is from our heart, and it's where it starts. And first, we need to give that up, to die to self, to live for you. Lord, as we go through this message, as we continue all the way through wisdom, Lord, I pray that you would continually give us the wisdom from you. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going through a study in Proverbs on wisdom. Wisdom's an interesting thing to talk about because I don't know how many of you know anything about Quatron TVs. A Quatron TV is a TV made by Sharp that has four colors instead of three and gives you billions and billions of more colors. However, the odd thing for Sharp is when they advertise their Quatron TV on your TV, doesn't work so well. That's how it is when we talk about wisdom quite often, is because we're trying to talk about God's wisdom with our wisdom, and we fall way short, so people really don't get the picture. In fact, just where it starts, how many of you have heard that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? So you know what I've heard? I've heard a million different things of what the fear of the Lord is. And you know what I've heard it from? I've heard it from man's wisdom. So in other words, we're trying to figure out where the starting point is without knowing where the starting point is. If you ask somebody, how do you get to the starting line? You say, well, I think you go there and there, but I'm not really sure. That's really what I hear a lot of. I hear about, well, the fear of the Lord, well, that means that I respect him a whole bunch. The fear of the Lord means that I'm terrified of him. I've heard a lot of these things. How do you know what the fear of the Lord is? Anybody? I'll tell you. Because I don't know. But God does. This is from Proverbs. This is Solomon. This is Solomon talking to his son. And you think Solomon, being the wisest person in the world, would know exactly where wisdom is and what the fear of the Lord is. But he doesn't either. This is from, this is before I even start my thing. I just want you to understand that wisdom is something that's not going to come from me. It's going to come from God. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look to it more than gold and silver and search for it more than his hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. If somebody asks you what the fear of the Lord is, your best answer is, I don't know. That's really what his father was telling him. I don't know what that is. You need to go to God to find out what that is. I actually like the New American Standard better, because then it says, if you do these things, you will discern what the fear of the Lord is. Go to God to find out. I love James because, you know, he says one of the hardest things for anybody to understand. He says, consider it pure joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials. I can tell you, and I think it's Satan's attacks. I don't really know. But whenever it is a week before I give a message, I have to consider it a lot of joy because there's a lot of trials. This is a really hard week. And for those that prayed for me, thank you very much. God got me through it unscathed, as he always does. But right after he says that, consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials, he knows that your manly wisdom doesn't get that a bit. that you just read something you flat out don't understand if you're not seeing things as God says it. So the very next thing, I don't know if you know the very next thing that he says. He says, if you lack wisdom, because he knows if you just misunderstood what I just said, it's because you don't know God. And you lack wisdom. I will tell you, wisdom, they say wisdom is hard to come by. That is untrue. It's not the supply of wisdom, because God has a whole bunch of it. It is the demand of wisdom where we fall short. Because when he says, if you lack wisdom, you know what he says to do? He doesn't say go out and to go to college and get a scholarship. He doesn't go find some guru at the top of the hill. He says, if you lack wisdom, then ask God. Because that's the only place you're going to get it. And that's where Solomon was, and that's where we can continue our story of what happens with Solomon when he asks God. And a lot of people say, well, Solomon asked God for wisdom. I want to declare to you exactly what Solomon asked God for. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? That's what wisdom is, people, and that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the heart. He asked for a discerning heart. He asked for a heart that said, when something happens, whether it's a situation, whether it's people, whatever comes my way, because I'm going to be king of your people, I need to know the right way to answer the question. I need to be the righteous judge in every situation. I need to know what your will is. That's what he asked for. And if you know the story, that's exactly what he got. Among other things that we'll talk about here in a second. But keep in mind, that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is an understanding heart, and that is a heart that knows God and knows about God. So many times we do what I call the Job Conference. Even Bible studies, I've been on a lot of Bible studies that become the Job Conference. It's when somebody has a really hard question, and you go around the room, and everybody answers that question with their lack of knowledge of God. With their incredible wisdom of man, but their lack of knowledge about God, and you'll get a lot of really bad answers to a really important question. And that's exactly what happened all the way through Job, and that's what happens day in and day out, because we think that we are smart. We think we are intelligent. We think we are so much that we are not. The first thing that he says about the heart is he says to guard it. He says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight, and keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's body, one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Do you get what I said there? Everything you do is because that is the kind of heart that you have. If you keep questioning why you keep doing some things, look at your heart. Amen. You keep questioning why you don't do some things you know you ought to be doing, look at your heart. Your heart's where it starts. It's where everything in life flows out of. It is the one thing that we know as far as an organ, and that's why it's likely used as this, is because it's the organ from which life flows. When men go into battle, when SWAT teams go in, they put on a flap jacket. What's that flap jacket? It's so that, to protect the heart. Because they know you lose the heart, you lose the life. This is why the heart is so important. As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of a man reflects man. You can act a whole bunch of different things. You can say a whole bunch of different things. You can even try to change your mind a little bit for a while. But your heart really runs things. You ever been on that up and down diet that you keep wanting to do and you keep failing at it and you keep going and you keep failing at it? It's because your mind really wants you to go on a diet, but your heart's not there. And that's one of a million different examples that I can give. Your heart has got to be there. Because if it's not, you will sooner or later go back to that. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. That's why you have to guard it. Because if you want to be God's person, your heart needs to be God's heart. If you want to do God things, your heart needs to be with God things. Solomon, he gave those incredibly wise words to his son and to us to guard your heart, because your heart is your life. Your heart is everything. Your heart is so important. This is what Solomon did, all right? Teaching something and doing something should go together. They did not. This is Solomon talking in Ecclesiastes. This is like a lot longer in his life after he told his son this incredibly wide words, guard your heart because it's your life. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all of my labors, and this was the reward from all my toil. Yet I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, and everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun. What's he saying there? He's saying that he did not guard his heart. He let his heart do anything that it wanted to do. He took all the guardrails off. There was nothing that he said, well, no, I better not do that because that would affect my heart. I better not do that other thing, and I better start doing that. He didn't do those things. He just did whatever he wanted to do. And I will tell you, if you do whatever you want to do in this life, everything will be meaningless. Why does he say that everything was meaningless? Because it was. Because he blew it. Because he let his heart be taken away. This is actually about his life. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David, his father, had been. Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow the Lord fully as David, his father, had done. By the way, David, his father, God said was a man after his own heart. He didn't say that about Solomon because of this. Let me back up. He did all these things, took off the guardrails. This is what happened. Just being wise isn't enough. This is the wisest man to live in history. Just because you know what is right with God does not mean you'll do it. Don't ever think that I am too smart for that. I am too far above and beyond that. In fact, God warned him several times. Don't do it. Don't do it. And he kept doing whatever his heart desired, not what God desired, and this is where he ended up. And if you let your heart go, if you don't take heed to the words when he was wise to guard your heart, this is what's going to happen to you. This might be what's happening to you right now. I don't know where you are. You might have already taken off the guardrails, and now you're way off track. You can get back. We'll talk about that. You need to incline your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. This could very well be one of the hardest things to do in the entire Bible. Do not lean on your own understanding. I've said it before and I'll say it again, that Jesus said he did nothing on his own initiative. Jesus himself did not lean on his own understanding. I will tell you that's why he was successful. As soon as you start leaning on your understanding, which is the easiest thing to do, you have to actually consciously look to God rather than, even when I prepare a message, the very first thing I do when I start preparing a message is I get what the subject's going to be. Sometimes it's given to me. Sometimes I pray about it and figure it out. This one was given to me. The first thing I do, just by nature, is I start using all of my wisdom, that everything that I know about that. And then I start studying, and God says, shut up, I got some good stuff to talk about. You need to understand that it's so easy to start with your own understanding. You need to actually stop yourself and say, no, wait a second, I'm going to hear God on this. Your heart needs to be the kind of heart that doesn't just click in the head, that the head goes down to the heart and says, what does God say? And the heart knows. That's wisdom. It's easy to start thinking with your own understanding. It's easy to make decisions by your own understanding. It's easy to live your life by your own understanding. But that kind of life will end up meaningless. You need to look for God. He will make your paths straight. The funny thing is, you know, I'll go to God and I'll say, God, you know, I don't know what to do in this situation, so I'm asking for your help. I either have to do A or I have to do B. God's like, you know, I got more letters than the alphabet. I got a whole bunch of stuff I could do. You've already limited it to two things. So he always picks C just because I didn't think of that one. And then he moves on. God's smarter than you. You got to get that. It takes a while, but you got to get that. God is a lot smarter than you are. He will make your path straight. He'll make it all line up. You know, the Bible, we know it says, you know, that God will make your paths good. Doesn't mean that's your next step. That might be down the line a little bit. You got to be patient sometimes for those lines to straighten up and the paths to get straight and to go down them. But if you continue to go down them, then your life will be significant, not meaningless. Receive my words and treasure my commands within you. Make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. I think most people I know do not have a heart inclined to understanding. I seldom have my heart inclined to understanding. So many times you have your heart inclined to what your head tells it to do. No, that isn't your understanding, by the way. You got to back up to the other verse. Don't rely on your understanding. That understanding you're leaning to is God's understanding. You need to lean that direction. And then you need to bind your heart. My son, observe my commandments. Observe the commandments of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. How many times when you are thinking of a situation and how to handle it do Bible verses start popping into your head? God's word starts popping into your head? If that doesn't happen to you very much, get into your word, because those are the kind of things that should be helping you make decisions. If you actually have your heart, and by the way, this is assuming that your mother and father taught you well. If they didn't, go to God's word, because they don't. I mean, that was, you know, his father was David, so I'll give you some inclination. But that's how your life will be. If your heart is inclined to God's word and God's word is bound within you, then when you walk about, those things will just guide you. You don't have to ask God which direction to go. You hit the fork in the road and you just keep walking right the right direction, because you don't even have to ask, because it's already there. With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. You want to keep from sinning against God, then already have your heart there. I loved our last thing. We talked about Joseph. And Joseph, you know, when he was, as most of you know the story, or you heard it in the sermons, that Potiphar's wife threw herself upon him. And his instant response to that was, that would be a great sin against God. That's where his heart was. His heart wasn't, well, let me think about that. That would be really bad. I might get caught, and this might happen, and that would be really bad for me. That would be a career-limiting move. He just went straight to, that is a great sin against God. Because his heart was with God, and what she was doing was outside of that. If your heart can be that connected and binded to God, then all of these situations just become automatic. He doesn't even say, well, that would be sinful or that would be wrong. He says, that would be against my God. That'd be against his heart is what he's saying. And my heart's with God. I am not going to go there. And if you really understand God and who he is, he's in your heart, his words are in your heart, it makes it so much easier to be wise in decision-making, wise in your life, making the right choices, being a benefit to God. And you can't go without saying this. You got to be a loving person. Because God has a loving heart. If you want to be a man after God's own heart or a woman after God's own heart, it has to be a loving heart. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's God's heart. Love your enemies and bless those who persecute you. That's God's heart. It's not common sense, by the way, to love your enemies. It's not common sense that when somebody slaps you on the right cheek, you turn the other to him. That's not common sense. That's God's sense. That's what God wants you to do. And in order to do that, you must first of all, first and foremost, and this is the answer to the question that was asked many of times, which was well known by those who were religious leaders, although they didn't necessarily follow it, that the greatest commandment is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And then it goes on to say to love your neighbor as yourself. A heart of God loves him. A heart of God is very sorrowful if you do anything that's against him. The heart of God says, God, you are the number one absolute most important thing in my life. In fact, as much as you love me, I'm going to show that to my neighbors because you showed me it so well. The heart of Solomon when he got old was, I will do whatever I want to do. There is a crevasse between thy will be done and my will be done. And you need to understand that crevasse. Because most of us, way too many times, in fact, some people all of the time, live according to my will be done. According to my understanding. According to I will do whatever my heart desires. That's not a love for God. That's a love for self, and that is not a love that will get you very far. And that's not, by the way, just with all your strength, with all your heart. That includes your soul and your mind and your strength. That's everything about you needs to love God. But I guarantee you, if your heart doesn't, the rest of you ain't following along. It's got to start with your heart loving God, and then your mind and soul and strength will come alongside. It's about the heart. There is no commandment greater than these. The way Jesus puts it, he said, this one sums up the whole law and the prophets. This is everything right here. You have a whole list of them, I know, in your book that you have that I said, and it goes great, but this is the one that just sums it all up. He has another one like it that he calls a sum up one, and that is the do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. We call it the golden rule. He also said that one sums up the whole law and the prophets, but it's all about love. It's all about a heart of love. It's all about reacting in love. As those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You cannot have wisdom without love. You might say, well, how come you're talking about love here, Mark? Because you're supposed to be doing something on wisdom. If you don't have love, you are foolish. I don't care how smart you are. If you don't love God and love people, you're stupid. God's wisdom does not compare to man's wisdom and vice versa. If you think that you can be really smart and really knowledgeable and just love is like an option, then you're sacrificing what God has for you. Because it's really about what has been done for us. Because we have something Solomon didn't have yet. We have Jesus Christ who came and died and was resurrected. We know what love is. We know what it means to be children of God and to be adopted into Him, and we should show that to everyone else. It should be our heart. It shouldn't be something we keep trying to do. If you keep trying to do something, that means it's not in your heart yet. Let me help you understand that. If there's something you really want to do and you keep trying and keep trying and it just, like, say you want to have a heart for the poor because you don't. If you keep trying to say, well, you know, I really want to help them and I want to set something up and things keep coming up and I really don't have time and I'm not really sure what to do, you don't have a heart for feeding poor people. You know what? You know why Solomon asked for a heart of discernment? It's because he didn't have it. You know why David said, create in me a clean heart? Because he didn't have it. The number one thing you should do when you go home is figure out what you don't have and ask God to give it to you. Because going home and trying really hard ain't going to get you there. Going home and saying, God, you know, I don't have a heart for poor people. Give me a heart for those that need. And then once you have a heart for those that have a need, then your actions and your abilities will start working towards that because God will give you what you need. When God told Moses that he was supposed to go to Egypt, what he should have said is, God, give me a heart to speak to those people. Instead, he just said, well, I really don't have the voice. I really don't speak well, and I don't really do that stuff. What he was really saying is, I don't have a heart for it. If you're not doing it, it's because you don't have a heart for it. If it's something you ought to be doing, then ask God to give it to you. So you can actually be like David and say, create in me a clean heart. God created it in him. And then God could say that he was a man after his own heart. We're all lacking. Don't go home and say, you know, Mark, it's really depressing because you just tell me how bad I am at stuff. That's how I went to a conference like 2 weeks ago, and it's an IT conference. As I don't know, I'm an IT guy. I'm a director in IT, and the whole conference basically is telling you that you might as well just go and buy an ice cream shop because you ain't going to be able to keep up. That was the conference. It's like, thank you very much. I spent a lot of money for that. I could have spent that money on the ice cream shop. But you can't do it, okay? Just know you can't do it. You can't have his wisdom. He can supply his wisdom in you. You can't have his heart. He can supply his heart within you. The Pharisees, that's what they're all about, is trying really, really hard. That's what religion is all about, is trying really, really, really hard. But having a God's heart is something that he gives through his son who gave his life for you. Ask God for it. It's not rocket science. James says you have not because you ask not. It's not tough. You just need to do it. And you've got to ask with a sincere heart. I really want to have a heart for the poor because I know it's what you want. Why did he ask for wisdom? Not only because he didn't have it, because he knew he had to have it to do God's work. That's why you're asking for it, not just so you're better, not so you can become more godly. It's so you can do God's work. Because God has a heart for the needy, and he won't need you to have, so you will take on that and actually help them. So first you got to guard it. And by the way, you don't guard it and then you go on to the next thing. Guarding your heart is something you do constantly throughout. Because that lion that's roaring around seeking to devour, he's after your heart. Because if Satan can get your heart, God has lost you. He knows that. Your heart's what he's after. So you continually guard it. You guard it in prayer. You guard it by hanging around people that have the same heart that you need to have. You guard it by staying away from giving your heart whatever it needs to. You put up guardrails and say, I'm not going to go there. You incline your heart. You actually lean in the right direction. You always lean towards God's wisdom and away from your own. And then you bind what God needs you to do inside of you. You bind his commandments inside of you. You bind his desires inside of you. You bind his will inside of you. And then all the things that flow out from that will be for him. And last but certainly not least, in fact, one of the greatest, is you need to put on a loving heart. If your heart is about you, your life will be meaningless. Amen. If your heart is about others and God, your life will be significant. Amen. It's up to you. It's your legacy. But we all need you to choose God. God needs you to choose God. I need you to choose God. Because then we can do his work together as a church. Have a heart. Have God's heart. Shall we pray? Almighty God, we know that the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. But Lord, we know we can't go anywhere past that starting point if you are not in our hearts. If we haven't given up our hearts for you, if we rely on our own understanding and our own desires and our own will, Lord, we'll never get off the starting line. Our life will become meaningless and a chasing after the wind. But Lord, if we can grasp that if we would just come to you and ask our hearts to be filled with whatever they're missing, starting with wisdom, starting with a heart that discerns right from wrong, leading to a heart that loves one another and most of all loves you with all the heart, all the strength, all our mind, all our soul. Lord, you're a wonderful, awesome God. You've given us a supply of wisdom that so many times we haven't picked up and ran with. We ask forgiveness for that. Lord, I pray that each one in this room would ask you fervently. As your word says, call out, scream out for, Lord, give us more wisdom. Give us your wisdom. Lord, I thank you so much. You are so great and so awesome, but yet you let us be your workmen. I pray that we have the heart that we can do that work effectively for you. Lord, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.